You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. We spoke about this earlier on at the start of the show with Nick Kunz around the fact that global markets are going to be influenced by some of the political matters that are coming out later on in this year. We've had some elections throughout the year, and we will continue to wrap up these elections as we go into the US election a couple of weeks away. And to look at that particular election and other political matters that might be affecting markets, I'm joined on the line by Jiten Pillay, who is the portfolio manager at Allan Gray. Good evening, Jiten. Thanks so much for taking the time. Undoubtedly, the focus at the moment is US elections and market volatility and sentiment, and everything around where we are in this last quarter of the year is centered around whether or not we're going to see Donald J. Trump return to the White House.
Yeah, the U.S. is an interesting point in time. You know, politics is certainly a part of it, but I think, you know, for me the kind of bigger kind of overarching issues is just the economic backdrop. And you know, I think as much as either presidential candidate would like to take credit for the good things that happen and maybe blame the other person for the bad things that happen, you know, I would argue they probably have very little control of it. I think, you know, there's some bigger forces at play that I think is actually causing the volatility that you've seen. You know, I think, you know, when you're going through a period of heightened uncertainty and low visibility that we currently have, you know, people are looking for any kind of data point to either confirm or reject the thesis that they've got going in. So I think part of the reason you've seen the volatility is because, you know, when some macroeconomic data point comes out, you know, people tend to overreact, but either good or bad, depending on the signal that it's sending.
Jiten, a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Graham once said that the stock market is a voting machine over the short term. Now, we're heading into the elections. The elections are just weeks away. What's playing out in the market at the moment? And is that the case? Are we seeing that the markets are representative of what the voting might turn out to be?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about a voting machine, you know, I think the stock market for all of its, you know, sophisticated investors that kind of try to assess it, it's still ultimately one of the biggest gauges of sentiment. You know, things move wildly based on what's popular. You know, despite, you know, investing meant to kind of be a skill that kind of tries to remove emotion from it. So, you know, I think the current vote is one of positivity. You know, if you look at what we can look at what's priced into markets, you know, roughly, you know, the market has continued U.S. interest rate cuts. It has inflation trending back down to the stable 2% that the U.S. enjoyed, you know, for the 20 years to 2021. You know, all of these things are good. You know, people are pricing in good news. And so to my mind, that's the current vote, if you will. I think what has me a little bit cautious here is, you know, expectations are somewhat high, and I worry that outcomes could be slightly worse than people expect. And, you know, that ultimately is the perfect setup for poor stock return going forward. So to my mind, you know, this is an environment, I think, to be very careful and ultimately to manage risk, I think, first and foremost.
Jiten, you mentioned good news being priced in, but also that outcomes need to be certain. And I want to look to our own local market as an example. We went through the speculation. We came out the other side. The outcome was more positive than what markets would have been pricing in. And we saw a very, very clear shift in market sentiment around how the markets viewed South Africa. What are some of those lessons that came out of that particular scenario, and how did that benefit our local companies?
Yeah, no, exactly right. You know, you've seen a big, what we would call re-rating, or an increase in the multiple that is applied to companies that predominantly face the South African economy, you know, post the election of the Government of National Unity. So, you know, the banks are somewhere up between 20% and 30%, apparel retailers a little bit even stronger than that. You know, what we would call SA Inc. companies have rallied quite significantly. And you know, I think somewhat rightly so. You know, the GNU definitely removed some of the left-tail negative risk that I think surrounded South Africa before the election, and definitely increases the possibility of a favorable outcome down the road. I think the thing again that we're worried about is the fundamentals running, sorry, the share prices running slightly ahead of the fundamentals, because you know the rally that we've seen thus far has, you know, it's mostly been on sentiment and on hope. Yes, there's some short-term factors that we think could help company earnings. You know, we've got things like lower oil prices, interest rate cuts, two-pot retirement reform. You know, all of that, all of those things put money into the hands of consumers today. The longer-term outlook, I think, is something that we're more worried about. Given that some of the structural factors that caused our economy to stagnate for a long time, you know, they haven't as yet been rectified.
Juthen, one of those structural factors was Eskom and the load shedding. We've just crossed that 200-day mark. We don't say it too many times, otherwise it shows up like Beetlejuice. But what do we do now with the other factors? What are those other risk factors? How do we tackle them? And how do we prioritize them? Because I think looking at some of the factors, you might say, oh, this is not important, but as a structural factor, it could be more important than something else.
Yeah, no, exactly right. You know, I would look at these things as enablers of growth. So, you know, looking at Eskom first, you're right. You know, we've passed the 200 days of no load shedding. You know, I wouldn't say we're completely out of the woods yet. If you look at Eskom's improved performance, I think it's welcome. But a lot of the structural challenges that it faced, you know, a year ago, they haven't gone away. You know, we still have a fairly aging coal fleet that's generating most of our power. You know, we need to find structural workarounds around that. Some of the other issues, well publicized, the issues at the ports, issues with railage, Transnet, I think, has certainly arrested the rapid decline, but you know, there hasn't been a meaningful improvement as yet in operating performance. Kind of the other infrastructure issues that we're looking at quite carefully actually go down to the water boards and to local government. When we talk to companies that we invest in on behalf of our clients, actually the things they're worried about now are provision of water into their factories to manufacture stuff, and you know, stable electricity grids to get the electricity into their factories, which again isn't a load shedding problem. It's actually a local municipality that hasn't maintained the infrastructure. So you know, they again these key issues that impeded growth, that I think we still need to see meaning reform on before I think we get a bit more excited.
As a fund manager, Juthen, are you looking at rand hedges? I mean, you touched on SA Inc. There's a bit of optimism around that. In times of difficulty, we kind of look at rand hedge markets or rand hedge stocks and kind of protect valuations and things. Are we a little more relaxed as South African investors or as fund managers or just as an environment around the picture that is South Africa and saying the risk to South Africa seems to be coming down, or at least it's not as high as where it was?
Yeah, look, I think objectively the, you know, just the political risk has certainly come down somewhat. Some of the other fundamental challenges that I talked about earlier, you know, they, I think we still have to see tangible markers that those things are resolving themselves. So to the extent that local company valuations have run fairly hard, we've used that opportunity to rotate into some of the rand hedges that haven't performed as strongly. The again, coming back to what I said earlier, you know, the adage of stock prices getting ahead of fundamentals, I think, don't get me wrong, we're South Africans, we want it to go well, but until there's tangible evidence that that's actually happening to SA company earnings, which, you know, by and large haven't been able to grow above inflation for the better part of a decade, you know, until that picture starts to meaningfully turn, or at least we see evidence thereof, you know, we can buy some great companies, who have most of their earnings outside of South Africa, that just happen to be listed here by some, you know, consequence of history. So companies like British American Tobacco, AB InBev, you know, fairly defensive economics, rand hedges, and companies that we think individually are cheap.
Jiten, before I let you go, in a globally linked world like the one that we live in, is there an outcome from the US election that bodes better for the catalyst that we need for South African markets, whether it's the Democratic outcome or the Republican outcome? I don't need you to choose one, but is there one where we come out a little better than where we are?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm not sure. And I'm not sure because, you know, and I'm certainly not an expert here, but if you look at, you know, either candidate's policies, you know, I'm somewhat worried either way.
Mm.
You know, if you look at Trump, for example, you know, he's famously the president of tariffs. And if you think, well, what does that mean for inflation? You know, if all else equal, the cost of goods are going up, you know, that gets passed on to consumers, and that puts the price of things up. You know, have you really fixed the inflation problem? He's also the president of cutting taxes. So what does that mean for the kind of U.S.'s fiscal situation? Likewise, on the other side of the aisle, you know, you have a candidate that actually just wants to probably will keep spending, which also does nothing to help the fiscal problem. So, you know, either way, I think we're somewhat worried about the state of the U.S.'s finances. If we bring it back to South Africa, you know, all else equal, you would think with, you know, South Africa probably aligning itself with the East rather than the West, you know, perhaps a Trump presidency is slightly worse for us, but, you know, all else equal, I would say, for in terms of the impact on global markets and global economics, I'm not picking a big differentiation between the two.
Let's not pick a side. Let's focus on ourselves, do what's right for South Africa, and we'll see the rest later. Thank you so much, Jiten. Jiten Pillay, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray, on the political impact on markets. This segment was brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.